Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Todd Allbar. Welcome into a brand new show. It is Monday, June 26, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. We welcome you back in. Long weekend for me. Took Thursday and Friday off from live shows to do a little moving. Changing apartments, downsizing a tad. And so we played reruns for you on Thursday and Friday. Mr. Zommer, it's been a couple of days. How you been, my friend?
It has been a couple of days, and I've also been busy, not actively moving yet, but packing up to move. And I have to say, I do feel that pain of downsizing a little bit because I have a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that I, like, some of it's instruments. When you have multiple guitar-sized instruments, that takes up space. Other things, it's just stuff for if I ever have a house, I'll need it. Right now, I don't. And the apartment I'm moving into overall is bigger, but my room is smaller.
Oh, right.
So it'll be
it's tight,
A bit of a Tetris game.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. My lovely and talented sister was down from Eau Claire last week. She spent almost the entire week with me. And it is, like when you get the empty boxes, the packed boxes, the furniture, it really is like Tetris. I'm downsizing a bit in terms of storage, and so I had to do this over the big stuff over 2 days, on Thursday and Friday. Now, let me just start the show with this. A huge shout out to Reynolds Transfer and Storage here in Madison, Wisconsin. And by the way, this is a completely unpaid endorsement. I got no deal. They didn't pay me to say this. But I think when you encounter people in whatever service industry it might be and they go above and beyond your expectations, it's incumbent to say thank you and just point and just, you know, say a shout out, right? So I had on Thursday we had to move a couple of things into storage. And then on Friday was the big move. And a huge shout out to my crew from Reynolds Transfer and Storage, Billy, my crew chief. And when you realize that your crew chief's name is Billy, how the heck could it go wrong? He's really a cool dude. And you had Billy and Luke on the first day, did fantastic. And Billy came back on day two and was joined by Jalen and Jacob. So Billy, Luke, Jalen, and Jacob, thank you very, very much. You guys did a great job. I mean, what's great about it is, from start to finish, when you first call them, they give you an estimate. Then the hard work, these four guys did all the hard work. It was hot, of course, last Thursday and Friday. They wrap all this stuff in kind of quilting. I have a table. I'm not big on material possessions, but my dining room kitchen table was made by my great-grandfather. And so it's kind of an heirloom piece. So they wrap all that. They took great care with it. Nothing, not one thing was broken. They use, now at Reynolds Transfer and Storage here in Madison, they use like these plastic reusable bins. So it saves on the ecology or the environment. They're reusable. They're more sturdy to move things. Things don't get broken. Then they come back and they pick it up after you're all done. All included in the price.
And I will say, having seen those in the background, if you've worked in the back like warehouse of any retail store, you've probably seen these same bins, just different colors.
Yeah.
And it turns out when they're packed by people who care about them, they don't get annihilated like the ones in retail stores do.
Exactly. And I did all my sister and I did all of our own packing, but they will do it. They will pack for you if you want them to. I didn't pay for that. And here's the thing. You think, oh, geez, Todd's spending big bucks to move, right? I got a couple of different estimates, and I will tell you all these services of Reynolds Transfer and Storage, it costs less, and I won't name who, but a couple of the more economy movers in town, Reynolds Transfer and Storage actually beat their price, better quality move, nothing was broken, and the guys, Billy, Jalen, Luke, and Jacob, great guys, young guys in their 20s, a couple was their full-time job. Some was a part-time summer job. Great sense of humor. They were patient with a guy like me who wasn't necessarily prepared. So just a big shout-out to Reynolds Transfer and Storage. You can, if you live in the Madison area or anywhere in Wisconsin, give them a call. They moved me to Florida in my brief stint in Florida and moved me back, and now they moved me across town. So whether it's across country, across town, give them a shout-out. That's ReynoldsTransfer.com. That's ReynoldsTransfer. ReynoldsTransfer.com. You will not be sorry. Best movers in the Madison area. So I just think it's important sometimes, you know, especially young guys like that. I know, like, in the service industry, you kind of live and die by the reviews, right? If you get your customer to give you a good review, or some knucklehead gives you a bad review. But these guys are really, really deserved it. So that was the bulk of my weekend. And a huge, I give a 5-star rating to my sister, Heather, who is a fantastic packer. If you want to hire, she's a teacher. But if you want to hire her for a couple of bucks over the summer, I also recommend my sister. But a big thanks to her as well. Really, really appreciate that. My friends Kurt and Florcy helped out a little bit on the weekend, and thank you to them. Have a big show for you today now that we're back live. Coming up after the break, our friend and usual Wednesday guest and contributor for the first hour, Trygve Olsen, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. But we talked about it on the show before. If you're new to our program on the statewide audience, Trygve Olsen, who got his political start here in Wisconsin, a Wisconsin native, went on to bigger and better things across the globe. He will explain when he comes back. He is a Russian, I call expert, based on his years and working in Belarus and on democracy projects and campaigns and elections. Here's a guy, no joke, who has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. The only person I know that has that distinction on his chart. He's going to be here to break down everything that's been happening in Russia this weekend when we come back. Also, the UW system, a huge cut by the Joint Finance Committee, and why President Jay Rothman of the UW system is an abysmal failure later on this hour and into hour two. But when we come back, Trygve Olsen and sorting out the Russian coup. Stay with us now. This is an all-new edition of the Todd Lawball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It's the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Brand new show. It is Monday, June 26, 2023. Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you along with us. A big weekend all around the world for various assorted and sundry reasons. No bigger story over the weekend than what happened in Russia and the failed, or apparently failed, Russian attempted Russian coup. We thank and invite back onto the program here our normal guest. He joins us on Wednesday, Trygve Olsen, a friend and general contributor to this program. These days, he's the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, amongst other things. A former Republican like myself, grew up in Northwest Wisconsin. Trygve, thanks so much for taking the time today on short notice to join us on this important issue.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Todd. And I got to tell you, I got a little bit of a cold.
It's
all the smoke. I was back in Wisconsin, all the smoke from the forest fires, and then I come back and bad cold. So forgive the rough voice.
I was just happy to have you here, in all honesty. Thank you so much. For those who might be new to you, now that we have a statewide audience over the last 2 weeks across Wisconsin, you grew up here in Northwest Wisconsin. You and I were both former members of the Republican Party. That's kind of where we ran into each other and got to know each other. You, like me, have left the party since then for other reasons. But tell folks who aren't familiar your background in terms of being a Russian expert and knowing these things internationally. How did that happen?
Yeah, so, you know, I was working down in Madison for Scott McCallum at the time in the lieutenant governor's office. And he knew somebody, and they asked me if I wanted to go to Poland for 3 weeks to do a get out the vote campaign, kind of like MTV Rock the Vote.
Sure.
Ended up going to Poland, and that just sort of set off a series of events where I ended up working for an organization that John McCain ran called the International Republican Institute as a consultant, as an employee, and as a volunteer all over the world. And along the way, I ended up doing some work in Serbia and some other places with bad autocratic actors. And so I got this expertise in working with those fighting for democracy against people like Putin and Lukashenko. And some of it was just, you know, my now wife, we were engaged. She's Lithuanian. She had an opportunity to go to Lithuania, serve in a high capacity in their Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I got asked if I would start their Belarus program, and ended up working all across that region, was labeled as an enemy of the Belarusian state by Alexander Lukashenko. was banned from Russia from my work with Boris Nemtsov by the head of the FSB, who's kind of Putin's right-hand guy. So,
what did the late, great John McCain tell you when that happened? He gave you some sage advice?
Well, McCain called me. I get this phone call. My phone rings. I answer it. And he's like, boy, this is John McCain. You know, you're judged by the stature of your enemies, and you must be doing one hell of a job. Then he hung up.
That was it.
It's like, okay.
Oh, that's great. Well, I just think it's important for people. This is not just a talking head pundit. This is someone who's been there, who's lived there, who's worked there, who knows this part of the world intimately. So, Trigvi, help break it down, because I think for a lot of folks in Wisconsin, across Wisconsin, we see this, whether it was on, you know, Meet the Press or Face the Nation or CNN or MSNBC or even Fox. And it's like, well, what does this all really mean? So break it down for folks, if you could. What exactly happened, and what was the so far outcome of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head, Todd. I will say, based on texts that I got from all my buddies, I talk about my beer-drinking buddies back in St. Croix County all the time, but, you know, I was getting texts from a bunch of them. What does this mean? Because they all knew that I'd spent a lot of time in that part of the world. And why does this matter? I made this point on Twitter. Chaos and civil war in a place that has 6,000 nuclear weapons, maybe 8, pointed literally at places like Wisconsin, pointed at all of us, that is a problem. And in some ways, you know, as I watched events unfold, I thought a lot about Jim Baker, the former Secretary of State, Chief of Staff to Ronald Reagan, his book in which, you know, this really was during the breakup of the Soviet Union, the worst nightmare of President George H.W. Bush and Jim Baker was that you'd have some kind of civil war, you have nuclear weapons just floating around, and you have the potential for bad people to get a hold of them. Now, here's the other thing people have to understand. This is really bad guys fighting with even worse guys, right? There is no good actor between Prigozhin and Putin and their clans. This is basically, as others have said, mafia warfare. And so, you know, sometimes we don't want to hear this, but really I think the Biden administration and Tony Blinken at State, and I think this would have been true of most Republican administrations, you don't get in the middle of it, but you got to watch it closely, because the fear is it can have all kinds of repercussions.
I think people like myself, even, you know, and a lot of Wisconsinites, you see this on the news at the 30,000 foot level. And maybe our first reaction is, oh, this is great because Putin's a bad dude and he's attacking Ukraine and we don't like Putin. So, hey, it's great if he's taken out. But to your point, you know, as evil or as bad as someone is, there's always someone worse. And this appears to be that case.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad groups of people fighting with each other. And quite frankly, they're completely zero sum. Now, I was asked on another call with some folks, you know, what do I think this means? And I think the first thing you have to understand is it's really hard to see a world where both Prigozhin and Putin can survive. And I mean, literally survive. It's hard to have a planet with both of them on it after what transpired. Second, this really damages Putin because, you know, all autocratic actors and people with autocratic personality disorder, they rely really on demonstrating that they are inevitable and they are invincible. And they do that through fear. And, you know, this is the ultimate case in which there was violence going on. That's been stripped for Putin. It had been eroding with Ukraine because the Ukrainians were showing that they weren't afraid of the Russians and the Russian army. But this is even bigger deal because it's internal within his own circle. And remember, Prigozhin was one of the closest people to Putin. He literally was his caterer at one point.
Wow.
Putin made him who he is. It's warlord politics, really.
So let me make sure that you tell me I'll give you my understanding. You tell me if I'm right or wrong or off base. So as I understand it, Prigozhin kind of led this, I don't want to call it ragtag, but a band of
They're not a ragtag. They're
they're
a
thugs.
Lot of soldiers of fortune, right. And they have some serious people. They're certainly, they've demonstrated themselves to be the second most powerful military force in Ukraine behind the Ukrainian army, and now they're demonstrating themselves to be the most powerful military force in Russia, more so than the Russian army.
So as I understand it, Prigozhin leads this group called Wagner, and Wagner made up of four military people, some of them criminals, whatnot, and basically Putin makes a deal with them because the Russian military isn't getting it done in Ukraine, and he says, we'll basically contract you to go out and join our forces and fight the Ukrainians. Prigozhin gets out there with Wagner on the front lines and says, holy crap, some of the stuff the Ukrainians have said about how inept Putin is keeping the Russian military armed is right, and they got so ticked off that they basically turned around and headed towards Moscow to demand that the Russian defense minister either resign or be forced out. And Putin is scared, starts blowing up and destroying some of their own roads to stop Wagner from attacking Moscow. And somewhere along the way, a deal was reached for Wagner to stand down. Is that it, more or less?
Yeah, and the deal was brokered by Belarus's president, Alexander Lukashenko, who's also a really bad dude.
So what was the deal? What led Wagner and Prigozhin to stand down?
You know, this is the whole thing. I think there are still lots of hands in this game to be played, and I'm not quite sure. I think, you know, now Lukashenko, just in the last, I don't know, hour or so, has tried to suggest that maybe Wagner can stay together. Is this Lukashenko trying to get his hands on a military?
Right.
Obviously, them in Belarus, if that's in fact the case, is a real issue for NATO and for all of us, because, you know, there's direct borders between Belarus and the Baltic states and Poland. Wagner, you know, they're mercenaries. So, you know, they've been deployed to Syria. They've been deployed to Angola. You know, they're bad actors. I will say, the one time, at least if you believe what you read, you know, that they had a run-in with the U.S. military. The U.S. military cleaned their clocks, but yeah. 30 Special Forces guys wiped out about 250 of them. But that notwithstanding, you know, this chaos and uncertainty there has real repercussions for all of us, even if it may not seem like, if you're in Minocqua or you're in Stevens Point or Madison. This is a serious, serious situation, and it becomes a serious situation, much like it was during the Cold War, because, you know, you have people that have big boy toys that are acting like the Sopranos.
A couple of minutes left here, Trigvi. Good for Ukraine. This it's more of a dust up. That's downplayed. But this situation, this attempted coup in Russia, good or bad for Ukraine, at least short term? And then finally, what does this mean, I guess, at the bottom line for Americans and Wisconsinites?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Ukrainians, you know, I'm not a military expert. That wasn't my expertise, but right. Based on those that I've talked to and those that I've seen, you know, I think it is a good thing for Ukraine. For one thing, you have Wagner off the table. Second, if you're a young Russian, why would you want to die for that in Ukraine? And Prigozhin called out what's happening in Ukraine, basically undermined Tucker Carlson and all those people at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for Ukraine. In terms of, you know, why does this all matter again for people in Wisconsin? Well, you know, to a degree, and I've said this before, from 1989 forward, when the Soviet Union started to collapse, we sort of have had a break from having to be serious about our politics. You know, when the world stands within 30 minutes of imploding, literally for good, it requires a level of seriousness of our politics. Quite frankly, it wasn't really uplifting to me when you see these people, you know, posturing, oh, this is Biden trying to distract from, and the CIA trying to distract from Hunter Biden's laptop. Right. I mean, good God, nothing could be less serious.
Speaking of politics, and we have people calling in. Welcome your calls, 844-967-2789. We'll take those calls after the break, 844-967-2789. Trigvi, 1 minute left. What does this mean politically? I'm happy Joe Biden's in the White House right now in times like these.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted that. There's a lot of things I don't agree with Joe Biden about, but I will tell you, and I tweeted this, when I would bring Belarusians or Ukrainians or Russians or others to Washington, D.C. back in the early mid-2000s, there were really only two senators that I could always count on personally meeting with them, and they were John McCain and Joe Biden. And if McCain or Biden couldn't make it, in Biden's case, he would actually have Tony Blinken in the meetings. Wow. So they know this part of the world. They know the actors. That's a positive.
Trygve Olsen, thank you so much for making time today. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Money Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. It's the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 1:33 on the time and temperature side. It is Monday, June 26, 2023. Back with a live show after taking Thursday and Friday off. Do a little moving. And this week, it's Mr. Zahmer's turn later on. So we will, and we're also moving into our new studio here, hopefully, the next couple of weeks. So
lots of moving
going on. We're going to keep things moving this half hour. Our guest, Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. But for today's discussion, really an expert on Eastern Europe and Russian and Belarusian history, and at least in the last 15 to 20 years or so. Trygve Olsen has so graciously agreed to stay on for another segment, even though you're feeling a little under the weather. We appreciate you pushing through, Trygve. If you would like to call in and talk about this subject this hour, the attempted Russian coup, with someone who has actually spent time there, someone who has a connection there, someone who is understands this area, give us a call. Either a question, a comment, a concern, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789, or we'll make it easy, 844-96-PARTY. That's P-A-R-T-Y. What are your thoughts? Do you concur with Trygve and I? This makes the world a more dangerous place after this weekend. Do you have an opinion on what it means to Ukraine? And what about the leadership of the United States? I think that leadership matters. To Trygve's point, tweet over the weekend. I mean, I cannot imagine if Trump was in the second term right now when all this happened, Trygve, we'd be a very different outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole circumstances in Ukraine would have ended up being real different. You know, it's kind of crazy because there was a great piece in the New York Times by a guy, Jim Rutenberg, who's a fantastic reporter and a really good guy. About the similarities between the plan that was supposedly being floated by Manafort and what Putin just basically tried to do in Ukraine militarily when Biden won. I was thinking about what we were talking about the first bit, Todd, and, you know, one of the things, and I made this point to you when I called you to talk offline, it's really hard for people in places like Wisconsin or just in the US, and I would have been this way too if I hadn't had the experiences that I was fortunate enough to have, to understand people that are as zero sum as the Russian leadership is. In other words, they believe that for them to prevail, you have to lose. And also as brutal and as Neanderthal as they are, we just don't encounter people who are zero sum and willing to impose it at the end of a gun.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Not to cross over too much, but I can't help but do it to a certain degree, Trygve, that I'm not suggesting everything that we saw this weekend is about to befall the United States in the near future. But when you look at the calls for violence from the mega Trump folks, and you look at these authoritarian streaks, to me, it's not too far to think that sort of thing could happen in the United States. Do you agree? 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Questions for Trygve Olsen on Russia or anything else you'd like to talk about? 844-967-2789. Would welcome your calls. 844-967-2789. Trygve, I mean, am I out of line by saying that?
No. I mean, really, Todd, as you know, I've always kind of tried to stay in the background. And in fact, I have a lot of reporters now, I think, who joke getting me to do stuff on the record has always been really kind of hard. I have intentionally avoided television like the plague. It's just not something that really I ever really wanted to do. But when I watched what was happening on January 6th, and to a degree what happened in the summer post George Floyd, not the peaceful protests,
right,
but certainly my, you know, the target in my sister's neighborhood in St. Paul being torched and looted. I watched all of that, and then I watched January 6th, and I just thought, I have to start speaking up more, given some of the experiences that I've had. And quite frankly, my colleagues at the Lincoln Project, I think, were kind of surprised. Because when I signed on, I said, you know, I really don't want to do a lot of public stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a slippery slope. And remember, violence begets more violence.
Right. Well, I still appreciate you doing our show every week on Wednesdays in the first hour. I appreciate you coming on this. But, you know, to me, it, like you just said, I mean, you're someone who I've known a while, and I think, you know, you have this certain sense of duty. And, you know, not all of us serve in the military. Certainly the military has a different sense of duty. But I think, you know, if you know a truth, and if you can speak out and educate someone or people or a group of people to help bad things happen, I think it's incumbent on each one of us. And so I appreciate that. And again, the fact that you're not just some, you know, talking head who's never had the real world experience, but that you've been there. And I think that's important to our discussions on Wednesdays when we focus more on the political side of things. It's not that we're just two kind of, you know, sour grapes, former Republicans spouting off. It's based in these facts that you've seen happen in other places.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, one of the things, and, you know, you mentioned the domestic side of this. One of the things that's interesting is, you know, there is this group of Republicans, and Wisconsin is ground zero for this. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this some. They're the people who voted for Tony Evers and Ron Johnson, for example, mm-hmm. right? And they didn't like Tim Michaels saying, never lose another election. They didn't like Mandela having tweeted about abolishing the police and mm-hmm. palling with Bernie Sanders. It's interesting because there's two groups of those people. There's the basically like democracy dads, mostly girl dads, who became conservative because they didn't want people on the left telling them what to do. And quite frankly, they don't like the idea that Scott Walker or Greg Abbott or people like that are telling their daughters what to do. And I mean, that's just a reality, right? People like Scott Walker push for a world where if your daughter or your wife gets pregnant in the state of Wisconsin right now and gets told by their doctor that their life is at risk, they have to go outside the state of Wisconsin to get medical care for it. And I'm pro-life, I'm militantly pro-life, as you know, and I don't share this often, but I guess now that I'm sharing, I will. You know, that's forged out of losing a daughter at 38 weeks, right? I would never want my daughters to make that choice, have to make that choice. But if they did, I would like them and their doctors to be making that choice, or us as a family making that choice. But the other side of it is what I call Red Dawn Republicans, which are guys, Wolverines, baby, not the Michigan ones, right? They're the ones who understood what Reagan was saying with a bear in the woods and that wanted a strong foreign policy. And they understand that the bear in the woods was all about the Russians, right? And it was the Democrats and Jimmy Carter who was soft on the Russians. The Russians were going in Afghanistan. You know, there's a whole generation that got to grow up after the end of the Cold War that has never really had to confront that.
Well, let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We'll welcome your calls. We go to Rice Lake, not too far from Trigvee's original stomping grounds. Help me out. I'm sorry. Is it Tano? Is that how you?
Tano.
Tano. All right, Tano, go ahead in Rice Lake. We appreciate you calling in.
Actually, it's Natano.
Oh, Natano. All right. Very
close enough.
All right, Natano. I apologize, but thank you for correcting me.
No problem. You said we're not there necessarily, but we are there in terms of the transformation of this democracy into fascism. We're halfway there in our justice system, because if we have a justice system that is unwilling to enforce the laws and demand some accountability, then we may as well admit that we're something's wrong in our system, that we can't, you know, if it were the other side, if Obama would have done a fraction of what Trump did in his first week, right, that guy would still be in jail. But the fact that Trump can still be out there gallivanting around and gaslighting, the guy's a malignant narcissist. He's a total gaslighter. Mm-hmm. And for the media to treat him like he's some type of statesman and just cover every time he sniffs, it's just ridiculous. So, I mean, we're not far off from losing this, because Merrick Garland refuses to take a stand because he doesn't want to look political. And look at what Bill Barr did. Look at what Bill Barr did the first time in 92 with the Iran-Contra. He got all those crooks off. And now that here they
Still there in the tunnel? Yeah, I'm sorry, you were cutting out there.
Go ahead.
I think you make a great point, Natano. I appreciate you calling in. Trigvi, agree or disagree that you look at where the court, I think that's a frustrating, I mean, Chris Licht at CNN basically lost his job because he put Trump on as a legitimate candidate. I shouldn't say no problem, but I understand if he's the Republican nominee, which I think he will be, but if he's the Republican nominee, you have to put him on stage with Biden. But short of that, I mean, why is the justice? Why is this guy still out being authoritarian like that?
Well, I mean, here's, I think, to the caller's question or point.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If Donald Trump hadn't been the former president, there's all these people on the right who are trying to say two-tier justice system and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, first of all, Donald Trump was, the grand jury was his peers, fellow Americans, that said there was enough evidence. Second, Donald Trump was given every opportunity to give the documents back. He was afforded opportunities that if you were some line worker at State Department or the CIA or DNI, you would not have been given that opportunity. If you were housing classified documents in your shower, you'd have had federal agents raiding, and they would already be making big rocks into little rocks into Leavenworth. So the reality is that just doesn't hold. If anything, you know, Donald Trump was, and I'm not even so sure that because he was a former president that they shouldn't have at least given him the opportunity to give him back. I'm okay with that, you know, but the reality is what they're trying to sell, and they're not trying to try this in the judiciary. They have no respect for the rule of law. They are trying to try this in the streets. And quite frankly, that's not dissimilar to what Prigozhin was trying to do, what he's trying to do in a place like Russia. Try it in the streets.
Natano, we appreciate you calling in. Now, where are you listening to us, on the Lake Air Radio up there in Amory?
Actually, online.
Oh, online. All right, very good. We always like to know whether you're listening online or over the air. Oh, we appreciate you, Tonto. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for your show. The great show, and this is a great app. I mean, this app works so well. It's like I can't recommend it enough. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
Our CEO, Sage Wild, our tech guy, will be very happy to hear that. So that Donald calling in and listening to us on the app today. If you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789, or we'll make it easy, 844-96-PARTY. What are your thoughts on the attempted Russian coup over the weekend and the possible political fallout? I think it makes. I mean, I think that is a frustration, Trigby. I hear from just a lot of folks. Like I said, I hung out with some 20-year-olds who were helping me move this weekend, and I think the thing that was disheartening the most for me is when they said, you know what, we don't have any faith in the system. Like they all believed that Biden had legitimately won, but they're just like, they're all a bunch of crooks, all the politicians, the whole system is rigged against us. And I told them, I said, that's what the other side wants you to think. They want to discourage you from voting. And I said, the one thing that everybody can do is vote. And that's so important in a representative democracy.
Yeah, I mean, so that is classic autocratic zero-sum behavior, is trying to create a universe where people know that some things aren't true, but they can't disseminate between the truth and what isn't. And in fact, somebody, I was just on a call with Ruth Ben Gyat, who's a professor at NYU. She wrote a great book called Strong Men. And if anybody's interested in understanding that better, that's what they're doing. And that's what we're seeing on play, unfold in real time in Russia. It's part of the reason why covering that was so hard.
Yeah. Trevi Olson, thanks for sticking around, my friend. Feel better. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Stay with
us. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure. Stay with us. The Todd Allbowl Show continues on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the program, the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin on our various assorted and sundry great civic media radio stations all across the state. Or, as our colleague there, Natano, up in Rice Lake, let us know. Last segment, he's listening to us on the app. If you don't have the app, now is a great time to do it. No time like the present. Doesn't cost you a thing. It's free. And takes less than a minute, either on your Apple or Android device. Just go to your app store, type in the search bar, type in Civic Media. That's C-I-V-I-C, like civics class, Civic Media. Type in Civic Media. It'll pop up a CM icon. Hit that in a minute or less. It should download. And you can open that up and listen to your favorite Civic Media radio station. Mr. Zommers and I, or whoever the producer of the hour is, will be with us right these days, Monday through Friday from 1 until 3, and all the other great programs as well. The Civic Media app, it is a great app, upgraded, and also has a button where you can just call in. There's a little phone icon, and also you can text in. Mr. Zommers, we have a question.
Yes, we do. Sorry we didn't get to you in that last segment with Trigvi, but we did get to ask him over the break, so we'll share his insights. Somebody with a Madison phone number texted in. Is the Wagner move a false flag operation?
So I asked Trigvi about this because I didn't know before I called. So I believe if we pronounce it in the correct Russian, when it's Wagner.
Yes, sorry, my bad.
That's fine. So I said, is it Wagner? Is it Wagner? Is it Wagner? So I guess it's Wagner. Like we'd say with a V is the correct.
Like the composer.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Like the Nazi composer. What?
More about that the next hour, by the way. Wagner. So a great question from a listener there. Is Wagner a false flag? What the caller or the texter, the listener, is referring to is there is a bunch of stories going around the internet, Twitter, Facebook, whatnot, that this whole episode, this whole story about the attempted Russian coup is a false flag. In other words, some people are claiming it never happened. That essentially it's just a ploy to get people to stop thinking about Ukraine and focus on what they're calling a false story. So, yes, Mr. Zommers is right. We asked Trigvi about that right before he left off the air. And he said, you know, normally that's a really legitimate and good question, especially when it pertains to Putin and Russia. But he said, because of the damage done to Putin, I don't believe it is. And because there have been, you know, video evidence and on-the-ground reporting, and really, for Trigvi, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Zommers, but he said, because of the damage this does to Putin. And what he's talking about there is just his reputation, right? Inside Russia, internationally, it's like, why would Putin damage himself in all those lanes just for a false flag story?
It definitely, in my very unexperienced point of view, it seems excessive if that's what it was.
But I think it's a great question from the listener, because there are a lot of these stories, quote unquote, floating around on different media online and on Twitter and Facebook and wherever, saying that, well, don't listen to people like Trigvi because it was a false flag. It never happened. I just don't buy that. And that's why I'm so appreciative and wanted an expert in this field to be on today. Because I could pull up, you know, 10 different stories from 10 different sources online and not be able to give you as good an authoritative breakdown of what we just had this past hour. It really takes, and this is to Trigvi's point, And this is one of the key tenets of this program, is to bring you the truth, to always pursue the truth. And sometimes it might not be pretty. Sometimes it might not be what I agree with or what I like. But I'm never going to put what I like or any sort of agenda ahead of the truth that I bring you. I'm just not. Because that doesn't serve any of us well. I happen to believe that the truth is the most important thing to give you, to help us all understand. And I also think it's just good broadcasting. Because there's so few places out there where that's their number one thing. Everybody's worried about, you know, not everybody, but a lot of folks in broadcast and in the television and radio and online world. How many clicks? What's the numbers say? And of course, that's all important. But I happen to believe that if we just focus on the truth first, if we bring you information that's accurate, and then we have a spirited but respectful discussion around that, I believe that's something people want to listen to. I believe that in today's chaotic world, that you could tune in for a couple of hours, 1 to 3 every afternoon, and hopefully to other programs on civic media as well, and simply get the truth. It's not some slogan we just came up with. You want to know where it came from? The whole, you know, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. Last fall, when I had my only in-person interview with our CEO, Sage Weil, and President Mike Crute, and they described what they were doing with civic media. And I thought, this is too good to be true. Who does this? It's not economically smart, quite frankly, to buy up a bunch of small radio stations and try to make local programming happen. You have to have the resources to support that until people catch on, and then it can support itself. Who's going to put that sort of investment into truth-based radio? Well, it turned out that his name is Sage Weil, our CEO and majority owner. But during the interview, I said, so what's expected of me? You know, what am I required to talk about? Because I had no interest in joining a corporation, a company that mandated that their hosts have a political agenda. I've been part of a political partisan agenda for most of my life, being a Republican until 2011. I left it because I could no longer keep espousing their agenda because I couldn't look myself in the mirror after they wanted to attack voting rights. So I said, what's the agenda? And Sage Weil looked at me and he said, tell the truth and do it with integrity. I said, that's it? He said, yeah, that's it. I'm like, well, I could do that. So when I was trying to think what our theme, what our catchphrase for this program was going to be, I didn't want it to be about me. And I just thought, well, what did Sage tell you? To tell the truth. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. We like to have a little fun now and then as well. So that's what this program is about for those of you who are new to the show across the state of Wisconsin. And the past hour is representative of that. We're always going to strive to bring on people that are going to help us understand the truth, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in Wisconsin, or your hometown. And we're going to do that in our next hour. Next hour, more truth and pursuing of it. The UW system, President Jay Rothman, an abysmal failure. Cuts to higher education. Is the Wisconsin idea dead? I will lay it all out for you. Take your phone calls as well. Don't want to miss it. This is the Tom Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.